Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in, Mike Yam, studio host at the NFL Network, and host of NFL Total Access. You can also hear him on Sirius XM Radio. What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
Always good to hear your guys' voices and get the invite. And it's an awesome time of the year. We got the NFL draft obviously tomorrow, and I know a lot of fans in the Bay Area have to be so geeked up that they actually got a first round pick this year.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's trying to figure out what they think's going on with Brandon Ayuk. What do you think about what's going on with Brandon Ayuk? And do you think that there is something to the 49ers maybe looking to trade him?
I still would be surprised, guys, if there's a trade and Brandon Ayuk is not a part of this team. And look, I mean, who really knows? Because at the end of the day, I think we're still going to see some chaos tomorrow in the draft. I think there's going to be a lot of movement in terms of trades and teams trying to move up to grab these quarterbacks. And it's going to be a heavy dose of offensive players. And look, I think strategically speaking, Brandon's one of your guys. You drafted him. You've had some success with finding some guys that in the draft who've been well compensated, and there's a pretty significant list that have been major contributors for the San Francisco 49ers. The only thing that I would say is if you do go down this path and you do have a first round pick, and my understanding, and Ian Rappaport, one of my colleagues on NFL Network, has said, hey, if there is a trade involving Brandon Ayuk, they would expect a first round pick in return. The only thing that I would say is this is a tremendous class of wide receivers, and maybe the Niners are sitting here going, you know what? We have so much salary allocated towards other players right now. Maybe it makes sense that we do dip into the draft and try to take one of these guys. Because, by the way, they could do that even with where they sit at 31 and still get one of the top, you know, five or six guys at that position. So maybe it happens, but I just think about the chemistry, his growth in that team's offense. And unless the asking price is so astronomical, and we don't really know what that is because we're not involved in those conversations, I still think Brandon's part of this team.
Mike, man, good stuff. I'm all over the place, so bear with me here. I'm on record. There was a juncture last season where I compared the 49er offense when it was clicking to the 94 Niner offense, and all of a sudden, fast forward to the playoffs, another playing better teams. The offense really never popped. You know, they almost lost to Green Bay. So I guess my question to you, Mike, is I hadn't talked to you. Why didn't the Niners win the Super Bowl, in your opinion, last year?
Look, I think the Niners were my pick. You know, when the postseason started, I thought San Francisco was the team to beat. Now, I also had Baltimore there, and I thought those are the two teams that we were going to see in that Super Bowl matchup. That obviously didn't happen. Look, I think at the end of the day, guys who played, guys, and it's any sport, it's hard to win. And I think it makes what Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have done even more special. And it's just about getting over the hump. And I think the Niners roster is as good as it gets right now in the NFL. When I look at where they could go in this year's draft, I think it's still offensive line to shore things up there. And, you know, they made some additions with trades. Chase Young certainly comes to mind to help, you know, get some pressure on quarterbacks. And I think, look, you still could maybe see, a defensive end or you know, just someone who can help bolster that. But the short answer, at least in my mind, is it's just really hard to win. And all you're asking for is a chance at the end to get over the hump. And I think what's maybe a little bit more disappointing is, 2 years ago, you're playing in an NFC championship game, essentially with one hand tied behind your back because Brock Purdy gets banged up. And this team was relatively healthy. So you felt like there was a great opportunity for this team to get over the hump and win this game. I also think the experience of losing in some of these games actually helps them. Like, I think there's some teams that need to still figure out how to win. And I think the Niners are right on the precipice right now, which is another reason why I don't know if you see Brandon traded, because this is still a win right now roster.
Mike Yam joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's a studio host at NFL Network and NFL Total Access. You can also hear him on Sirius XM Radio. Let me throw this one at you, and I'm not saying that it would be done for this reason, but it could be like a byproduct. Is there seems to be the feeling that if the 49ers, let's say they come to terms with Ayuk, that next year they're going to have to deal with either Debo Samuel or Ayuk, and they're going to have to lose, probably Debo Samuel. The fact that Brock Purdy right now is making so little, it kind of affords the 49ers this one extra offensive weapon, I always call it.
Sure.
If they know that they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy at the end of next year, and the result of that is going to be, well, we're going to have to lose a weapon at that point, is there any way you'd be thinking, well, this is a great wide receiver class, we'll pick up a young wide receiver, because we know we're going to have to lose one of our guys anyway next year. And oh, by the way, it'll give us a look at Brock Purdy under maybe a more realistic scenario of after he gets a big contract.
Yeah, I
you follow all that?
No. I'm totally with you, because I think this is the really hard situation that the Niners are in. I made reference to this roster being in win right now mode, and that's abundantly clear. But the reality is, like, sometimes you got to look ahead, and there's got to be that strategic planning that is in place. And you're right, like, you're managing the cap, the contracts that are out there. Hell, at the beginning of this season, I was asking our guys, off air, hey, how are you supposed to handle Brock Purdy's contract when that thing comes up? Because the prices for quarterbacks keep escalating. And, the mantra of this dude just being a system guy, I don't buy that. I think Brock Purdy is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. So he's going to get paid handsomely. So I'm with you. And I think there's got to be some of that strategic planning. The problem is there's no guarantees with any of these guys. And I do think that this class at the wide receiver spot is terrific. It's as deep as we've seen in the last few years. So you're right. Like, maybe there's pressure on John Lynch and that scouting department. They got to feel so much conviction in one of those receivers. Mm. And look, if you trade them, like, maybe you are talking about another first round pick. Maybe they get what they're hoping for, that Ian Rappaport is reporting, and it's a first round selection, because you can basically take a pretty good bite at the apple. I mean, the top three guys in Neighbors and Rome Odunze and Marvin Harrison, they're not going to be available, right? Like, that's just not going to happen from a San Francisco perspective. So you're talking about that second tier guy who, by the way, still could maybe even outperform those top three guys. I don't, we don't know. I mean, I put out a tweet the other day about quarterbacks, right? Like, the last 10 times that a team has moved up to get a quarterback and in that top five hasn't really paid dividends. In fact, like, the names are not great. And by the way, San Francisco fans know exactly what I'm talking about, because it happened with Trey Lance. He's on that list. So I think the same can be said for this wide receiver class. There's no sure bets. And I think that's that calculated risk. If you think you can win right now, and Brandon Ayuk is a major piece of your offense, do you want to think about what happens in year two and three, or in the next 2 or 3 years, or is it more about what happens this upcoming season?
Mike, it's no secret that the Niners are trying to bolster their offensive line. Can you share with us and the listeners, a couple names that may pop up at you that you not even just dark horses, but some that you think, these dudes, they're a sure shot?
Yeah, to me, and I think there's probably more evidence around some offensive linemen in the first round having sustained success in the NFL than maybe some of those other positions. And, you know, here's what I would tell you guys. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah had put this out there that he feels like there's going to be a lot of trades for teams moving up to go and grab some of these offensive linemen and some of these tackles. So, you know, I was in our green room the other day and I had asked Bucky Brooks, I said, hey man, like, you think you see 6-7 wide receivers taken in the first round? And he paused and he said, hey, there's guys that could go in the first round. But he felt like some of those guys were going to drop into early round two because he said it's just quite honestly harder to get some of these offensive linemen. So he felt like you'd see more offensive linemen drafted in round one potentially than you would some of these wide receivers, which is telling. And I actually think that does happen. But for where the Niners are picking right now, like, I don't know, like J.C. Latham, like, is he a kid out of Alabama that could be late first round? Maybe. I think he'd be a name that I would throw out into the mix from that perspective. Mims, the kid out of Georgia, I think is well thought of. Out of Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson, I know he actually performed pretty well at the combine, just another big body. And people were talking about him as maybe even a fringe second round guy, but I actually think that he ends up going in the first round. And, you know, Graham Barton is another kid out of Duke who I think has got a real opportunity to go in round number one and could be that late first round guy that maybe San Francisco is hoping falls to them. And one other name for it, because I think it's sort of an interesting path, Jordan Morgan. You know, about a year ago, he was a guy that was thinking about coming out. He had an ACL injury, missed some time. He had to go back this past year, but his name, I would say over the last 2 or 3 weeks, is starting to rise a little bit in some of the circles with the people that I've been talking to.
Mike, I'm looking at the three names at wide receiver that you brought up, Harrison Jr., yeah, Neighbors, and Adunze. Like, how quickly will they be off the board in your board, do you think?
I think they're
like, how high would the 49ers have to move up to get one of those three, do you think?
So here's where it gets interesting. I actually think the first four picks in this year's draft are going to be quarterbacks. I don't think Arizona sits at four because I feel like the top three wide receivers that you just name checked, I think the margins are so thin that Arizona's probably thinking to themselves, hey, if we move down, and they might be able to move down twice, you know, depending on which team moves up and still get one of those three guys, and they might be happy with that selection. I just don't see a world that exists other than four quarterbacks taken with those first four picks, Michael Penix being one of those guys who's a top 10 guy, a run of offensive linemen and some of those tackles where maybe, you know, you can get one of them at 13, 14, 15 in that range. But candidly, guys, I still think that those three wide receivers are top 11, top 10, top 12 picks at worst. So I think there'd be some real movement. And here, how about this scenario, though? If we're talking about a Brandon Ayuk trade, what if they traded Brandon Ayuk and they had one of those, and I'm spitballing here, sure, with the pick. I don't know, Steelers, right? Like, what if it's a Steelers pick? And I think Pittsburgh might be in the 20 range. You know, it's like one of, God, low 20s, whatever that number is. Yeah, it is 20. I was right. I was pulling that up now on my screen. Let's say they pick, they pull off a trade with them. They have the 20th pick, and then they obviously have 31. Do you sit there and say, hey, do we package one of that pick with one of the later ones that we have, the third or fourth round, to move up a couple slots to get one of those guys? Maybe. I think if they're available, if one of those three guys is available at 15, I think that's when it starts to get interesting for San Francisco to try to be on the move.
Mike, this is a bit of a random question. My partner always says I hit him with random questions, but this was posed to me yesterday, and I said, you know what? I'm going to ask Mike his thoughts. So in 2021 with that quarterback class, I was telling anybody that would listen, wait for the 30 for 30. It's going to be awesome. There's sure shots everywhere, and right now it doesn't look that great. But there's one guy, Trevor Lawrence, that I was asked how I would describe how he's been doing. And I know he's holding on to the job, sure, but Mike, what word would you use to describe Trevor Lawrence right now? Would you be worried if you're a Jag fan?
Here's why I'm not worried, because I'm with you. I think you can look at the statistics, and I think you can look at what your eyes would tell you, what you saw at the second half of the year from Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. And there was a little bit of a collapse in the second half of the season. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for two reasons. One, his head coach. And I do think You know, Peterson is a little bit of a quarterback whisperer. I think you saw some growth from him last year, or I guess I should say two seasons ago, in that first campaign when you compare to that rookie season when it was Urban Meyer. So I do think he took a little bit of a hit because of the scenario his rookie season. And then I'll fast forward to that dude being so banged up. There was a stretch there where, in my mind, I was hoping that they just wouldn't throw him out there because they were in pole position for a playoff spot and had an opportunity to you know, make a run. I thought there was enough weapons on that team to be dangerous in the postseason. And yet the guy is the walking wounded out there, and they still are playing him, and then they lost some games late in the season that I think were certainly costly. They've obviously tried to strengthen that quarterback room. They traded for Mac Jones to get him into the fold and just get some experience there. But I do think Trevor Lawrence is going to be okay. But that class, and I, case in point, right? All these teams that are trying to move up to take one of these quarterbacks with one of those top four or five picks or whoever, you know, maybe top six, because the Giants are going to be interested. Tell me who the sure bet is. Because if anyone tells you that one of these guys is locked for NFL greatness, they're just guessing. Because the reality is none of us know. I mean, I think the evaluation process, we spend more time, you know, saying that these guys are, you know, Caleb Williams is a sure thing, right? I actually love Caleb Williams. And if you said to me, who's the safest pick, it would be him for me. And I've been saying that for 2 years now. But, you know, who really knows? I think that there should be a much more significant investment in how to make sure that these guys, once they're drafted, have success, right? Bryce Young, Carolina's conviction was so high that it was Bryce Young, and then C.J. Stroud has the season and has been a game changer for that franchise. But yet, look at the scenario that Bryce is in, right? Like, multiple head coaches. His coach doesn't even last, what, 7 or 8 games. Frank Wright is out. You know, we're talking about a change in scheme. Not enough skill on the outside at the wide receiver spot. An offensive line that was mediocre at best, and yet some people are going to say, hey, Bryce Young's going to be a bust. I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? It's a rookie season for him where he didn't have pieces around him. Like, these guys need to have pieces in order to thrive and have success. If they don't, then we're just lying to ourselves. And I think that, to me, is the biggest thing about this evaluation process. It is still a crapshoot in my mind.
Mike, what are your responsibilities going to be tomorrow? I take it it's going to be a big work day for you.
Oh, yes. We got total access as soon as the draft is over on NFL Network. Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be hanging with me, Chase Daniels. So we'll get the quarterback and the running back perspective on some of these guys. So we'll do TA every single night that the draft is going on, and then a recap. We got a 2-hour total access on 11 a.m. Local time Pacific. I'm used to throwing out those Eastern times, even though I spent, you know, gotcha, 10-15 years now in California. But it's going to be an exciting time for all of us.
Well, also, I'd like to remind people, in addition to your work at NFL Network, you are also an author of a children's book, Fried Rice and Marinara. I always mention that when you're on. I think that's just great. So I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. It's definitely a huge passion project for me. And I've actually had, and I got to give you guys credit, because I've had people reach out to me on some of my radio hits with you guys mentioning the book. So,
oh, nice. There you go. You
know, it's something that I didn't have as a kid, which was a story featuring like an Asian character at all. And the reality is, like, I'm tired of seeing like the stereotypes as the backdrop of books or talking about physical appearances as like a children's story. It's like, we could do better than that. And I certainly tried my best in trying to do that.
Great stuff. Asian and Italian, right?
Oh yeah. Fried rice and marinara. Why not, man?
Gotcha.
Let's roll on it.
Gotcha. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for joining
us.
It's always great info. Have fun tomorrow night and all throughout the weekend. It's going to be awesome.
You guys are the best. Always appreciate the invite and enjoy the next few days.
Yes, sir. That's Mike Yam, studio host, NFL Network and NFL Total Access. You can also hear him on Sirius XM Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.